the month of August is full of saints' days. The two big feasts of glory in August are the Feast of the Transfiguration last week and the Solemnity of the Assumption coming up on Saturday. And in between those two feasts of glory, the biggest feast is today's feast, Feast of St. Lawrence, Deacon and Martyr. It's quite striking that St. Lawrence gets the rank of a feast, which is a high rank in the liturgical structure. It's because Lawrence has always been held in such high honor since his martyrdom back in the 3rd century. Part of the honor for St. Lawrence was the respect for the deacons. This is something that's sometimes lost in our times, because very often deacons, here in the Philippines, it's very true, deacons are often seen as simply in a transition to becoming priests. It's kind of just a stopover on the way to the priesthood. That's not how the early church saw it. The deacons had and have a distinct role of service in the church. That's why they have a very unique place in the liturgy, to highlight their unique place. So Lawrence was a deacon. He wasn't going to become a priest. His vocation was to serve. His service was, among other things, service of the poor. So he had what in modern times would be called social action ministry, caring for the poor. But another reason why Lawrence is honored so highly, in fact, the greater reason, is because of his martyrdom, his willingness to lay down his life, his joyful willingness to lay down his life. It's quite striking how he abandoned himself so totally that he could even joke about it while he was being tortured. You know the story about his being roasted on a gridiron, and at some point he said, I think this side is done, you can turn me over. So even when he was dying in a very painful way, he was joking about it. That's part of the reason why today's first reading was chosen, where it says God loves a cheerful giver. Lawrence was a cheerful giver. What did he give? He gave himself, gave his life. In the early church, there were many martyrs, and in the Church of Rome in particular, there were many martyrs. Just the other day, we celebrated Pope St. Sixtus II and his companions who were martyred in the Church of Rome. Those companions were four deacons. And Lawrence was also a deacon of the Church of Rome, so it was pretty obvious to him what was going to happen to him. The Pope was martyred, the deacons were martyred, he was the deacon of Rome, so he was going to be martyred if they catch him. So instead of running away or hiding, he made a public display of his gift of himself. He wanted to give himself. Sometimes you see this spirit in the lives of the saints, this desire for martyrdom, this desire for a complete union with the sacrifice of Jesus. Martyrdom, though, is not simply something that we choose. Even if you choose to be a martyr, it doesn't just happen. Someone has to do the martyring, the killing. And there are examples of saints who wanted to be martyrs and weren't. Think of that humorous story of Saint Teresa of Avila when she was a little girl. I think she was 6 or 7 years old. She wanted to be martyred, so she ran away from home so that she would be martyred, so she could go to heaven. That was her idea. I don't think it was so much about suffering, but going to heaven. In the early church, especially in the first few centuries, and even into the Middle Ages, the idea was quite strong that martyrs were the ones who had the guarantee of going to heaven. If you wanted to go to heaven, you had to be martyred, because that was the best fulfillment of the description Jesus gave about taking up your cross and following in his footsteps. Or in today's gospel, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. So to be a true servant meant to lay down your life. And there are other passages that confirm that. So the idea crept into the church that that was the way to go to heaven. And if you weren't martyred, and of course you can't determine that, well, then it was less certain. Now, nowadays, that's not at all the mindset of the church, because we have many saints, many canonized saints, who are not martyrs. Nevertheless, the martyrs hold a very high place in the life of the church. They stand out as heroes of the faith, and that's what St. Lawrence does for us today. An example of what it means to be a Christian, to love God wholeheartedly, to dedicate ourselves to God fully, and to dedicate ourselves joyfully to the service of the poor. That's like a model of Christian life. The readings today are chosen especially for the feast. So they're not chosen for Monday of the 19th week. We're on Feast of St. Lawrence, and these readings are, you could say, it's as if Lawrence fulfilled these words, these divine words. He put flesh on these words. The first reading is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, or writing to the Corinthians, and he uses this image of sowing the seed. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. We understand that image. If you plant more seeds, you get more harvest. If you plant a little bit, you don't get very much. But it's not simply an agricultural fact. It's an insight into the spiritual life. To have a bountiful life, we have to give more. To bear more fruit, we have to love more. That's the sowing. And sowing always implies sacrifice, loss, risk. It implies an abandonment of ourselves, or making a gift of ourselves for the abundant life that God brings forth. That's always a risk, because when we sow, there's this moment in which we no longer have what we had, and we do not yet see the harvest. We don't see the fruit. That's where faith comes in. Something like we saw yesterday when Peter got out of the boat. When he got out of the boat, he was no longer in the boat. That's the security of the boat. But how could he walk on the water? Only by faith. So the idea of sowing bountifully implies faith. Because if we don't believe that God will bring forth fruit from a sacrifice, we would never dare to make the sacrifice. In fact, it wouldn't make sense to us. Lawrence then, St. Lawrence, is a great example of faith. He believed that if he gave himself to God and he gave himself in service, his life would bear abundant fruit, even if he's killed. That's why he could laugh at it. No, this you Romans, you think this is going to be a terrible thing? No, it's going to bear abundant fruit. And his sacrifice is still bearing fruit to this day. So Paul speaks about sowing bountifully and doing it without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. He's not forcing anybody to love or to sacrifice. But he's certainly inviting us to do so that we can share in his joy. The real cheerful giver is God himself. He's all giver. He doesn't have to receive anything. He doesn't do it only to receive. That's the nature of love. The other-centeredness of love. And to love is to be cheerful. If we're always unhappy, if we're always complaining, if we're always dissatisfied, well, then there's something wrong with our love. I'm not talking about the reaction of our nature. Our nature will always complain. That doesn't change. But in our spirit, we should be, like Lawrence, a cheerful giver. The psalm also speaks about the fruitfulness of the gift and the generosity of a lover. Then in the gospel, Jesus also speaks about the planting of seeds. In this case, he mentions the grain of wheat. And he describes this same dynamic of loss and gain, of dying and rising, of losing and gaining, of planting and reaping. If a grain of wheat is not planted, if it doesn't die, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, this is Jesus' own language. Now, we don't think of seeds dying, but that's Jesus' language for what happens when we plant the seed. When we plant the seed, we're already thinking about the life to come. That's why we plant. But Jesus identifies it also as a dying, so that we can recognize there is a cost here when we love, or when we serve, when we give. And it's a kind of dying. Every time we love, we die to some extent. Doesn't mean we have to walk around like martyrs or pretend like our sacrifice is so great, but it's the nature of love to die for the life of others. And that's what Jesus says is, he's actually describing himself here. But then he also is saying, this describes anyone who wants to follow me. Anyone who wants to bear much fruit with me has to follow me in this path of planting the seed and allowing it to die or to be sacrificed so that it can bear much fruit. So we ask St. Lawrence to intercede for us, to show us the way, and to help us understand the joy of loving, the joy of sacrificing, what we could also call the joy of dying, if we understand it properly. It was Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa, who used to always speak about joy in giving, smiling when you're loving. So she had this charism. She didn't experience a lot of joy inside, but she conveyed joy to others, and she wanted everyone to experience the joy of loving. I think that's what St. Lawrence wants us to know. That's what the liturgy wants us to know. So let us ask his intercession and rely on his guidance and his example for us.